No storms today, maybe, huh? So, the story of Mary and Martha, at least to me, I think, is legendary. There are a lot of people who will say, oh, she's a Martha because she works so much. And when I was thinking about this, I was realizing that every time I met anybody named Mary or Martha, I thought of this Mary and Martha. So it's a special name for, passage for me also, partly because my women's group at the church that raised me up for ordination, the women's group there was called the Marthas. Our logo, or theme, if you will, was "We don't mind the work." So, to this day, I'm thinking now of a couple of people who, as soon as they see me, they say, "We don't mind the work." It'll follow me forever. But basically, everything that had to be done that started with service from the kitchen was turned over to the Marthas. And I have to say that we did a mighty good job of it. Someday I'll tell you about cooking 100 crab cakes for 100 people. I'll never do that again. So I don't think I'm the only one that struggles with the idea of being a Mary or a Martha. What I have come to realize is that it's really not a choice. The work of the sisters Mary and Martha is different, but together it makes a whole ministry, and we need to be both. Well, what do I mean by that, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, some of the criticism of Martha comes from her lack of hospitality, that she was off in the kitchen doing something while Mary was paying attention to Jesus and honoring him with her ears and her presence. However, we need to look at the early part of this passage and note that it is Martha who greets Jesus and invites her in and invites him in and welcomes him. Martha exemplifies the words, "To be ye doers of the word." Mary demonstrates the importance of listening to the word, listening to what it is that Jesus is saying, what it is that Jesus is calling her to do, listening to the message that Jesus has to bring for the redemption of all humankind. Now, no doubt, as a 21st century Christian, we have to follow the example of these sisters, I think. So what do I mean by that, do you ask? Again, I'm glad you asked. As we go out into the world as disciples of Christ, we need to be informed, we need to be knowledgeable, and committed to the truth of the Word of God. But we can't just stay in our prayer corner and say, "Wow, that was really interesting," after reading a particularly difficult passage and then reading a couple of commentaries and thinking we really have a grip on it. I think I understand this book of whatever you're reading, you might say, I might say. Or, "I'm so glad I finally have a grip. I understand perfectly what it is that this passage means, what it is saying." If we truly understand the message of the Bible and the truth of Jesus' words, we have to do something about it. We have to live it and speak it. We have to get out of our comfortable chair and go out into the world. Some of this that I'm saying echoes at least to me it does, to our communication, our commitment to listening for God. How will we grow St. Francis? That we must not just do what we want to do, but we also have to listen. It's a two-part thing, like Mary and Martha. Somewhere between listening and waiting and doing with discernment, the forethought brings balance. Finding that balance is not easy. As I consider today's reading and the concept of today, I have to wonder if after the meal, Jesus and Mary did the dishes. So what does it mean to welcome someone? Whenever I do any kind of search, the first thing that comes up now is an AI definition or insight into what it is that I'm looking for. In this case, AI happened to be right on point. Welcome is a term used to greet someone and make them feel at ease in a new place or situation, or to express that their arrival is pleasing. It can also describe the feeling of being accepted by others. The word welcome can be used as a noun, a verb, or an adjective. And I find that extremely interesting, such a diverse word. The idea of welcoming, therefore, is really not a simple concept. We think it is, oh, welcome, come on in. But it's so much more than that. So what do we mean as a church when we say you are welcome? What do we mean as a church when we say all are welcome, no exceptions? Whenever I hear that statement, which is a statement of the Episcopal Church and of our church, I immediately start to think of exceptions, and that's just so uncool. There are exceptions, I think, to that rule, to that idea. And I have to ask myself again, what would Jesus do? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's recently found a new church for personal reasons, and her first experience was great. The rector welcomed her, shook her hand, chatted with her. People kind of said hi. So she continued to go. And the longer she has gone, the less she has been greeted. As a matter of fact, she told me that last week she was talking to the rector, and in the middle of a sentence, he saw somebody and walked away from her to go talk to that person. So, what does she do now? How do we find a new way when we're not happy with the way that others have offered to us, or we think sometimes that God has offered to us? Coming into a place like this, I know that people feel extremely welcomed. And I know that each of us takes time to make sure that each of us is continued to be welcome and to welcome others. How do we find our right spot? How do we find our balance between sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to the word and going to the kitchen and making something wonderful for your guest? I don't have the answer to that, and I'm not sure I always do a good job of it. But the point is that, you know, another part of this is that Jesus says, Martha, Martha, and a lot of people think that Jesus is scolding Martha. But I'm not sure. Jesus is engaging Martha to consider what it is that Mary is doing so that they might be sisters together in Christ. Part of welcome is caring for those who don't care for us or we don't care for. And a reminder of the prayer for our enemies. O God, the Father of all, whose Son commanded us to love our enemies, lead them and us from prejudice to truth. Deliver them and us from hatred, cruelty, and revenge. And in your good time, enable us all to stand and be reconciled before you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We can be doers of the word, but before we can be successful or meaningful doers, we have to listen. We have to spend time with Jesus and listen, really listen. And you know what I figured out is that part of listening is then engaging with other people about what you hear. And that's what we're going to continue to do here at St. Francis. As you know, the bishop is coming in about however long. And as much as I kind of joke around about the bishop, I'm pleased that the bishop's office cares enough to send her here. It's not the usual thing that you get a visit 2 years in a row. So we will welcome her. And we will be prepared. This is what I'm asking you to do. We will be prepared to say something to her about your hope for the future of this church. Something about the process of doing and listening and balancing, going and waiting and discerning. It's an amazing gemstone that we have in this place. And we need to keep it polished and remember that it's unbreakable. So that's those are my thoughts for today. And it keeps growing in my mind, but I'll spare you what I feel like I need to continue to say. It keeps growing in my mind how powerful balance is in our worship, in our lives, in the world, in our own heart. How important balance is. Amen. So I invite you to